Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carrillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Will you find myself and Matt once again in the media lounge of the O2 Arena, which is... I mean, this is not news, but a weird place, isn't it? I mean, I've just got completely lost in it for about the seventh time in 24 hours, and I still can't figure out if it's indoors or outdoors, why on earth there's a super drug here. It's, I mean, who is satisfying their cosmetic needs at the O2 Arena in Greenwich? It's a weird, weird place. I mean, yeah.
People come here for nights out. When there's not something going on at the O2 in the arena.
Blows my mind, that. Absolutely blows my mind.
And you have to make sure you walk around the right way, don't you? Otherwise you end up just miles from where you want to be.
I know someone who shall not be named that was once taken for a first date at the Harvester at the O2. Which is one of the saddest stories I've ever heard.
I'll tell you what else is a weird place. Canary Wharf at the weekend. That's where my Airbnb is. It's an absolute ghost town.
You've teased the listener, Matt, with the mention of your Airbnb. Story to come later, folks. Story involving Matt being up in the middle of the night without his glasses on because you were watching day one of the Fed Cup final between Australia and France in Perth. And it's all finally poised after day one, kind of perfectly poised in terms of the rest of the tie. At one win apiece, and I suppose maybe the bare facts of the results are not unexpected. The manner of the results, the manners of the victories for Ash Barty over Caroline Garcia and Kiki Mladenovic over Alia Tomljanovic, very, very surprising, Matt. And also surprising to the extent that you got more sleep than hoped and expected.
Yeah.
Every cloud.
Up at 3, back in bed at 6. Saw two tennis matches.
David set his alarm for 6.
And he'd missed
it
all.
Hoping to catch the best of the action.
Yeah.
Right, to give us a summary. How bad were the two losers? How good were the two winners? What was the occasion like, etc., etc.?
Well, the occasion was superb. The staging and the arena was pretty much packed. 13,000, which I've heard is a record for a women's only tennis event in Australia. So that was fantastic. There were lots of kids. Tennis Australia had invited everyone, I think, who had represented Australia in the Fed Cup over the years. Because this is obviously kind of the culmination of this era of Fed Cup before it changes format. So there were loads of, you know, tennis fans and famous faces in, and it was a great atmosphere, great staging.
You tweeted that video of Le Marseillaise, which is just one of the best things ever in sport or in life, seeing the Marseillaise being sung on a stage like that, and it was spine tingling.
France always wins the national anthem. I mean, I don't care, it's just the best. I love it. Yes, so that was all great, and then the tennis started. And honestly, one of the strangest...
3 a.m. Matt pumped.
One of the strangest sessions of tennis I can remember seeing. I mean, the closest set was 6-1. And this wasn't like first round of a Slam and that there was great disparity between the players. These were top players, all of them pretty much in the top 50. I know Ash Barty's ranking is a standout, but you expected, or I expected, close matches, really.
And you expect something like Fed Cup and a final to be a leveller.
Exactly. Now, the first match, probably, if we deal with these in chronological order...
let's go with the really competitive one first, yeah. Matt. Let's whet everyone's appetites.
That to me, I've had to boil that match down to one thing.
So this is Mladenovic and Tomljanovic, which was 1-1 to Mladenovic.
It was, for me, it was a case of who dealt with the occasion better. That essentially, the match hinged on that, I think. And Kiki Mladenovic handled it brilliantly, played really well. And Tomljanovic, it was a nightmare. She never settled. Obviously, her first tie in Fed Cup representing Australia, and it's the final. It's an incredibly difficult situation, but she unfortunately did not handle it well. She was spraying errors. I thought she was caught between a bit of a, you know, rock and a hard place, because she was trying to go for it, but she was making errors. And then when she was dropping back and being a bit more safe, she was just sort of dollying the ball up and not really getting anything on the ball. And Kiki Mladenovic was playing well enough to just fire winners, get her forehand into play and finish her off. And as you watch the match, it just became increasingly uncomfortable. You could see the stress on Tomljanovic's face. She was chatting to Alicia Molik.
What happened to the atmosphere?
Well, interestingly, after the first set, which France pocketed 6-1, the MC kind of went over to the French section of the crowd and got them to continue their chanting. And two Australian...
Hang on, the MC is also sort of functioning as a hype man.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
And the Australian team, Stosa and Gavrilova, who is not in the squad, but she was on the bench, went to have a little word and said, look, we're at home. Why are you doing this? You know, why are you encouraging the French?
They lodged a complaint about the hype man.
Exactly.
Hype is hype, folks.
So, because it was so flat from an Australian perspective, because they had absolutely nothing to cheer. I always think the dynamic between the fans and the players is really interesting in Fed Cup, because the players kind of need the fans, but equally the fans need something from the players to get into, and there was nothing coming from Tomljanovic.
If you're an Aussie, I mean, I guess different folks, different strokes, but I'd rather play in some atmosphere, even if it's of a French persuasion,
yeah,
than a totally, you know, a huge full arena feeling flat is a very bizarre thing.
It took until 6-1, 5-love for Tomljanovic to hit a winner.
No.
That's the level of, unfortunately, the level of performance we're talking about. It was such a shame. And
this was the most competitive match, folks.
This was the more competitive one, yeah. But Kiki Mladenovic really... On the other hand, Mladenovic really does love the stage. You know, she said the bigger the pressure, that equals the bigger the event, therefore the better I play, kind of thing, which was all the stuff you wanted to hear.
Yeah, I mean, you'd probably say her single standout result in singles was that French Open. Mm. Well, a couple of French Opens. The French Open where she beat Muguruza,
yeah.
Finger-wagging gate.
A great gate.
One of the all-time great gates. Shall we hear from Mladenovic and from Tomljanovic?
I think it was such a unique experience and feeling. I don't think I've ever felt it before. I definitely wish I could have, you know, done better with the circumstances, but at the end of the day, I did, you know, give my all, and it just, yeah, didn't really go as planned. It's not something you can really kind of explain. It's just a feeling that I had just walking out, even for the ceremony. It's really unique. You're not playing for yourself. You're playing for the whole country, for your teammates. Yeah, it'd be easier if they were all not nice, so you wouldn't really care. But, yeah, it's just definitely you're playing for something way more than you play all year.
To be honest, I didn't feel like she was too nervous. I just felt that I was extremely focused on just myself and playing my game, and I had my game plan really in mind, and I think I committed perfectly, and I just played let's say, too fast, and I felt like I was in my comfort zone pretty much the whole time, which I'm very satisfied about. You know, I just love this stage. Like I said on the on-court interview, you know, the bigger the challenge, more the pressure. I really fight out there. I want, you know, to just enjoy. This is moments that are for a lifetime. It's just amazing to be out there.
Well, I think the tone of voices there kind of says it all. I mean, Mladenovic completely buoyant, and Tomljanovic not really shying away from it at all. Obviously, absolutely gutted. Sidebar, two unexpected accents there for me. Tomljanovic, I was expecting to have a sort of Gavrilova-esque
yes.
half Eastern European, half Australian accent. Nope, she sounds like Maria Sharapova. and Mladenovic, quite charmingly, speaks English now with a German accent.
Like Thiem.
Like Dominic Thiem, presumably because obviously they speak English amongst themselves. Yeah, really struck me that, anyway.
I wonder if Thiem was up at 3 a.m. watching.
Hmm.
Might have to ask him on.
He wouldn't
tomorrow.
Have had to be up for long.
This is true.
But then he wouldn't have known that at the time he set his alarm.
Indeed.
He said he was thinking of going to the football today. Is it today or tomorrow? Can't be tomorrow, can it?
He's playing tomorrow.
Yeah. I think he said he was going to see if he could go to the football today. Very, very eager to meet Frank Lampard.
Warm up for a match against Federer by going to the football.
Yeah. Whatever keeps you fresh, Dominic. So, yeah, I mean... Yeah, the tone of voices said it all there. Is Tomljanovic, Matt, going to be dropped for the reverse singles?
There's a serious case that she should be. However, when you look at the options in the team, you might say, what's the point, kind of? Because Barty will start tomorrow, and if she gets Australia off to a good start, that'll be 2-1 up. That then becomes a slightly less pressured situation for Tomljanovic in that match. You could put Stoser in, but then you probably want Stoser for the doubles. You could put Sharma or Hon in, but then you're probably in a similar situation with an inexperienced player that you're in today. Tomljanovic, a big part of her performance today was an understandable first experience. I think she might be better tomorrow in a match she's not really expected to win against Caroline Garcia, although more to come on her mental state. So I really don't know. I think it's actually a very tough call. I don't think the captains made any mistakes with their picks today. I think everyone probably would have put those teams out, but I think there are definite decisions that need to be made based on today's play tomorrow, and we'll be able to judge those decisions based on what the outcome is tomorrow.
Since you've mentioned her, why isn't Gavrilova in the team?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I think it's possibly that she hasn't been in great form. I know that Sharma, they think, is a great prospect, and I think they want to give her that experience. Hon played the decisive doubles, I think, earlier on in this year with Barty, so she's kind of been rewarded for that and performed really well in that doubles. Stoser for the experience.
Of course, yeah.
And then, obviously, you're going to play Barty. And then Tomljanovic has been playing, had a much better year than Gavrilova, so I think...
It's tough for Gavrilova, that, isn't it?
It is tough to get in.
Yeah. Functions as a good hype woman, though, apparently. So,
or wanting less hype.
Or reverse
wanting
hype
less
woman.
French hype.
So two games for Ilya Tomljanovic. Oh, what Caroline Garcia would have given for two precious games, Matt. Talk us through rubber number two.
The first ever love and love in a Fed Cup final. The first ever love and love of...
These are not things that are going to be written on Caroline Garcia's CV or headstone, are they?
No. Honestly, it was pretty mind-boggling. There was an explanation for Tomljanovic's performance. Nerves, first experience. It was all very understandable. I could feel what was happening. With Garcia, it was much harder. Now, Barty was unbelievable. She said herself on court afterwards, I think it's probably the best tennis match I've ever played. And just when you think you've seen Barty play the best tennis match she's ever played, as we saw in Shenzhen, she just was even better. And it really backs up what I thought at the start of the WTA finals, that actually she was aiming to peak for the Fed Cup more than Shenzhen even. This really is such a priority for her.
$4.5 million was a warm-up.
Yeah. And actually, as soon as Barty came on court, the atmosphere changed. Despite the pressure for her to deliver a point, there was kind of a calmness in the stadium. They're like, well, this is Barty, she's going to do it. And for that to be the case, given the pressure, the expectation, I think just says so much about how good Barty is and how confident people are. Because Todd Woodbridge in the commentary was mentioning the fact that Vegemite has changed. They've changed the branding to Bartymite. You know, the sort of most iconic Australian food
That's
now bears
like,
Barty's name.
Nishikori having his face on cup noodle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so they were ramping up this pressure, and Barty just dealt with it like it was any other match. And she was always a step ahead of Garcia. Because for the first, really, believe it or not, the first set, Garcia wasn't that bad. She was doing the right things. Not always executing them perfectly, obviously, but she was playing the right way. She was trying to come forward, be aggressive. But Barty was reading it like a book, just picking her off.
See, I think if Caroline Garcia was quite a smart tennis player, and certainly a very smooth tennis player...
She was exposed.
I mean, we talked yesterday about how her ranking just isn't where it should be, but Fed Cup should be a leveller, the occasion should be a leveller. I was expecting her to produce, maybe not win, but produce top 10, top 20 level tennis.
Mm. Oh, and she didn't at all. Certainly in the second set when the wheels came off, really. But I think, I have to stress, Barty was phenomenal. And Casey Delacroix was on commentary as well, and she obviously knows Barty very well. They played doubles together. And she picked up very early in the match that Barty was hitting over her backhand a lot more topspin backhands than we usually see. Often she prefers the slice. And Delacroix said that would be completely deliberate because Garcia is quite good at handling the slice, and Barty would have realised that almost immediately, picked up on it, and had the ability to adapt her game in the necessary manner to sort of make that a non-issue. And it was true, she was hitting a lot more topspin backhands, and I think Garcia was a bit surprised by that. I think she was expecting the slice, almost that would be a safety zone that she could hit to.
She almost needed to second-guess the bluff.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then you can do that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, can't you?
Yeah. And Kiki Mladenovic was practicing her slice after, because obviously it was all over, you know, she only played for an hour, she went out and had a hit again. And I'm not sure who she was hitting with Mladenovic, but she was practicing her slice. However, I'm not sure whoever she was hitting with will have as good a slice as Ash Barty. So,
well, almost certainly not, or else why aren't you...
Exactly.
Number one in the world.
So it'll be interesting to see how Mladenovic deals with the Barty slice tomorrow. But it sounds like she can adapt and hit that topspin backhand if she needs to.
Let's hear from Ash Barty and also from a very contrasting sounding Caroline Garcia.
I mean, I was expecting a good level of tennis from her because she's in full confidence and she was playing some great tennis in Shenzhen. But I was ready to play my match, and of course, it obviously didn't went the way I wanted. And she didn't leave me a lot of space, but I always believe there is a way to win it. And I couldn't find it today, even if it was maybe a tiny way. I was ready to take it, but I obviously didn't see it. And I'm disappointed with my performance. If in the final of Fed Cup I don't have a little bit of nerves, that means I don't care much. So obviously I was a little bit stressed, but not overstressed. And I don't think that's the reason why I play that bad. But I think today she played a very good match from the first point until the last one, and I couldn't find the little things who can bother her.
Yeah, I think just overall, though, I felt like today I executed very well. I made Caro pretty uncomfortable, and I think she was able to feel that. I served particularly well very and early on. I felt like in the first three or four of my service games, I was in control of a lot of the points, and Caro's a player that likes court position. She likes to be up in the court, so that was a key factor for me today. And then also, that's probably the best I've returned in a long, long time. Overall, I just know that we've got one more really exciting day left in this season. I can't wait to get out there. First thing tomorrow morning and represent Australia kind of one last time for this year. And then, look, it's going to be a year that I look back on with incredible enjoyment. I think there are some memories that have kind of... I'd like to watch them again. I think I've forgotten some of the really good stuff and they've kind of all been fuzzed into one, but I can't wait to sit back, relax and enjoy this year and reflect on this year. But first and foremost, we're really excited about the opportunity of tomorrow and to try and bring home a Fed Cup title for Australia.
So Barty, obviously chuffed with her performance. As Matt said, she said on the court, best match she's ever played. Caroline Garcia, to me, sounded like she hadn't really processed what had happened, really. She sounded quite blank, maybe in a bit of denial, really. I mean, obviously talking about how brilliant Barty was, but compared to how kind of crushed Tomljanovic sounded, it didn't feel like it had quite sunk in for Garcia, which is perhaps very understandable. Is there a case for Caroline Garcia being dropped?
There's a case. I mean, how do you bounce back from a pretty humiliating defeat, really, in 24 hours, less than, perhaps. However, I think that's going to be so crucial for France. Barty, to me, looks unbeatable. I think she will win that third tie, the third rubber tomorrow, making it 2-1 Australia against Mladenovic. And that will then be a must-win tie for France. And, OK, they've got Elise Cornet, perhaps you could say someone. I can't imagine Elise Cornet completely folding in the situation, but equally, her ceiling isn't as high as Garcia's. And if they need someone to go and wrestle and win that match, I think you've got to put your faith in Garcia. You're looking at me like you think she's going
to
be dropped.
I'm just trying to think of a time, and I've thought of Garcia producing like really gritty, gutsy tennis, and she has done. I think probably back end of the season, a couple of years ago, when she went on
that
charge. I remember that match she played with Svitolina in the middle of the night in Beijing.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, she's had a tough year, so. I mean, I've not seen her play that much this year because she's not been in the big matches on the big stages, which is, I mean, she ought to have been. But
do you feel like it's a bit, she's either on or she's off? And it feels like she's off.
Yeah, a little bit.
But equally, I think it's a big gamble to drop her. And if they end up losing that rubber with Caroline Garcia sitting on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah, the bigger call for Julien Beneteau is to drop her, without question.
Yeah.
The safe call is to keep her and I mean although then it's on Julien to do the pep talk, isn't it? That, goodness me, that have to be some pep talk.
Mm. It's one of those where it's one all, but it feels like Australia are ahead, and for that to be the case after they lost the first tie 6-1, 6-1, and it was a nightmare is remarkable. And Barty was asked whether it felt like she had earned 2 points in a way, almost completely damaging Garcia for the next day. And of course, Barty played that down, and
of course,
and said no, it's 1 point. It's one
That'd
point
mean subtext.
On the score.
Yeah, a little bit.
But subtext, I think that journalist was onto something.
Yeah. Yeah, goodness me. I mean, you've dismissed the challenge of Kiki Mladenovic against Ash Barty. She's beaten her a couple of times this year.
Yeah, she beat her just before Barty.
After Barty became Barty.
After Barty became Barty, just before she won the French Open. I cannot see her winning tomorrow. Barty was so good. So, so good.
But
today.
So good that you're inevitably not going to be able to play that well again. I don't know why I'm making this case. I mean,
I would be... more stunned than I was at the 6-love, 6-love scoreline if Barty loses tomorrow. I think she's playing that well.
Regardless of opponent.
Yeah.
It's going to be Medenovic.
Feels like if it does go to that decisive doubles, Barty's going to play. Feels like she's a superpower. It's like Steve Smith for Australia over the Ashes summer.
How do you get her out?
How do you beat? As long as she's in the team, Australia are fine. And that was the same with Steve Smith in the cricket. Like, as long as he was there,
yeah,
they were always going to have a route to victory.
Doesn't matter who her partner is. Just having some Ashes flashbacks. Okay. If it's live, who are France putting into the doubles? Am I going to see an Hébert Mahut redemptive doubles moment?
Well, Kiki Mladenovic plays for sure.
That would make me very, very emotional. Unless it all goes horribly wrong and they don't end up proposing to one another afterwards, a la Hébert Mahut in Paris last weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. I think probably Mladenovic and Garcia, but perhaps I'm overlooking the options that France do have. And Beneteau talks about options being a bit of a headache throughout the week, but equally
that's your job, mate.
They're a great thing
managing
when you need
the options.
Them. And arguably, this is a pretty desperate situation. maybe he does need to use his options.
Do you think he already knows? The doubles team, do you think he sat Mladenovic and Garcia down in a room together and gone, can you do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they played earlier this year in the doubles. They won the decisive tie in Romania.
What were the vibes like?
They were good.
Okay.
They weren't Hébert
Mahut. Was there hugging?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, hugging, so high-fiving.
They've had the redemptive moment. I just missed it.
But I think this would be bigger.
Yeah.
It still feels like their relationship needs something else to be back to where it was.
A helping hand.
Yeah. It needs a Fed Cup final victory.
Okay. Which you think they're not going to get?
I think Barty's going to do it for Australia.
It's bad news for David's prediction. But he's not here, so that's all fine. Matt, tell us what happened at 4:30 this morning.
Oh, yes. Well, I wasn't expecting anyone in my Airbnb to be up. So, after the first match had finished, left my room, wandered into the kitchen, filled up my water bottle, turned round.
Glasses not on.
Because I don't need my glasses to watch the tennis
right
on the screen in front of me.
Right.
And there, sitting in the dark, was my Airbnb host. So I turned round and jumped.
God, it's like,
and she said,
single white female, the tennis podcast edition.
She said, morning.
It's too weird.
I was a bit stunned and sort of said,
Mr.
morning
Roberts,
back
I've
and
been
I thought,
waiting for you.
It felt a bit like that, and I thought, in this moment I can try to explain why I'm up at 4:30, but then I thought, I don't have to do that.
You just styled it out and
so
moseyed on back
just
to your room.
Morning, and went back to my room and watched Barty destroy Caroline Garcia.
I suspect that's not the end of the story, folks.
Well, the last time I stayed in Airbnb was at Queen's, and I had an awkward experience then as well because
didn't you end up having to eat a McDonald's at a dinner table or something?
They were eating. Well, we hadn't met our Airbnb host. I was with Andrew,
American Andrew.
Yeah,
hello.
And the only thing open at Hammersmith at 11:30, 11:45, once we finished at Queen's, was KFC. So we got the boneless,
ever reliable,
got the boneless banquet. Went back to the
naturally.
Went back to the flat. We hadn't met the Airbnb hosts, and we heard them downstairs, and we thought, well, we're going to say hello. It'll be fine. We'll just eat our KFC, and we'll chat to them. It'll be fine. Turns out they were having a dinner party. There was 4 or 5 people down there.
Hi, guys. I've brought my own banquet bucket. Banquet bucket?
Boneless banquet.
Bonus banquet, sorry.
They had...
It come in a bucket. Everything
exactly.
comes in a bucket, doesn't it?
They had homemade pasta. They had wine. It was classy.
Pasta, sir? No, you're all right. I've got my wings.
I've got my greasy... my very greasy chicken. Which, was awkward. And they sort of watched us eat it, you know.
Right then. Tune in tomorrow, folks, for Matt's latest awkward Airbnb encounter.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
This edition of the Tennis Podcast is sponsored by Tennis Channel, and Tennis Channel Plus is the place to watch the French Open. They've got every court live, and you can watch on your phone or on your smart TV in HD.
Sounds great. There's genuinely nothing I like more than watching multiple courts with matches everywhere.
And can I just sit and watch court season Longlin all day?
You sure can, David. Wherever the stories are, the rivalries emerge and the generations clash, you can watch it all with daily live coverage beginning on Monday, May the 20th. Be there when it happens by subscribing to Tennis Channel Plus to stream daily coverage of Roland Garros. Use promo code TENNISPOD20 for 20% off your annual subscription. What else is there tomorrow other than the second day of the Fed Cup final in Perth? There's also the first day of the ATP finals, and it features the Andre Agassi group. I keep blanking on which way around they are. I think it's the Andre Agassi group. And the two opening matches are Novak Djokovic against Matteo Berrettini and Roger Federer in the evening session against Dominic Team. I spoke to all four of them yesterday. Djokovic still struggling a bit with the tail end of the Lurgy that he had in Paris, but he won Paris with the Lurgy, so I don't think we particularly need to dwell on that. He was a little bit irritable, but he was at the end of, you know, quite a long stream of media. He was perfectly fine. Just obviously was keen to get out of there and rest up and have a hit, presumably. Matteo Berrettini was just
a delight.
I don't know how you found him in the press conference. I thought he was the perfect balance of just humbled and delighted to be here, but also expecting something of himself here, not just thinking, oh, well, I've made it here, that's the real win. He wants something from this week.
Yeah, he talked in his press conference about the fact that he's a similar age, actually, to Medvedev, Zverev.
Yeah, he just looks about a decade older.
He looks older, but he's been on the scene in terms of at the top for far less time. He was ranked 52 at the start of the year, and he's now number 8. That's a really big jump. And he talked about the fact that he could have been kind of put off by that. You know, he could have seen those players having those results who are his age and thinking, why am I not there? But he said, well, all he did was focus on himself, and he knew that he was making progress and that he would get there eventually. He trusted that process. He's here now, and I completely agree. I think he's happy to be here. There's certainly a little glint in his eye. He's very pleased with his new surroundings. Mm. But at the same time, he's not completely in awe of everything and just...
He's not talking about having posters of these guys on his wall growing up, which is... those are the red flags, aren't they?
Yeah, and the one red flag from this year is the Wimbledon centre court match he played against Federer. But I think he's come on as a player since then. I think he's had more big match experience. Certainly, he performed pretty well in the US Open semi-final against Nadal.
Just reminded me of the text I sent my brother that morning saying, I think Federer could be troubled a bit today. Goodness me, that didn't age well. Thanks, Matteo. But he was a delight yesterday. A real delight. Really open talker. I asked him whether he watched that Monfils-Shapovalov match in Paris, which determined his fate. And he said, no, I couldn't watch. So I arranged to go out for dinner with friends.
He couldn't bear to watch.
He couldn't bear to watch, yeah. So he arranged to go out for dinner and he got a text and was just overwhelmed and delighted. So that was a nice little story. And, Djokovic for him tomorrow. I think Djokovic is going to win.
Yeah, I think Berrettini's going to lose.
Yeah, I mean,
having said all of that,
Djokovic, I think, he didn't open up too much. I don't know what he was like in the press conference. Didn't open up too much on the world year-end number one thing. I think everybody knows how much he wants it, how big it would be. He was most effusive on the subject when I asked him about the fact that it was Pete Sampras's record that he was aiming to equal, the fact that Pete was his hero. He talks about that. He talks really, really nicely about Pete Sampras and the significance of him in his tennis life up until this point. We all know how big a deal that record would be. We all know how much Djokovic wants it. But we also know that the ball is in Nadal's court. He has to wait till Monday before he plays his first match against Zverev. And Medvedev Tsitsipas is the other first match from the Bjorn Borg group on Monday. The second match tomorrow, the evening session singles match, Roger Federer against Dominic Thiem. They've played twice this year. Thiem has won both of them. I asked both players about that record yesterday. Dominic said, I think I was a bit lucky in both those matches. And then I said to Federer, Dominic thinks he was a bit lucky in both those matches. And Federer said, yeah, I agree. But crucially, Thiem said he feels physically significantly better here this year than he has in any previous season, which is necessary, isn't it? Because he's never been in any kind of physical shape to perform at this event before.
Yeah, exactly. He's crawled over the finish line for the last few seasons, playing, 25, 30 events almost, it feels like sometimes, whereas I think he had a little illness, didn't he, around the time of the US Open, and then since then he's been a lot better. I would slightly disagree with that assessment that Thiem got lucky in those matches. I think the Indian Wells final, Thiem wrestled that match from Federer, and there was not a lot that Federer could do about it. It felt like Thiem was swinging, hitting big, and it was all going in.
It's very Dominic Thiem to interpret that as getting a bit lucky, though, isn't it?
It is.
He would never say, yeah, I wrestled that match.
Yeah, whereas someone like Zverev would.
Yeah, exactly.
But Federer said something very interesting in press, that he thinks the courts are playing quick this year.
A lot of people are saying that.
Right.
I mean, proof is in the pudding. They obviously, the courts play very differently with, 11,000 people inside the arena to what they play. But, I mean, Federer knows that. He knows the difference, doesn't he? So he's got the best sample size of anybody to be able to tell.
And I think on a quick court, he might be able to rush Thiem. It will be a test of how far Thiem has come. We know he's come a long way on hard courts, but how far has he come indoors?
It was interesting. I put the results to him and I said, Vienna a couple of weeks ago, Indian Wells at the start of the season, do you feel you've turned a corner on hard courts? And he completely dismissed Indian Wells. He said, no, the conditions there are so like clay that I don't really count it as a hard court victory. Which, again, is so Dominic Thiem.
So Dominic Thiem, yeah.
Roger Federer he was interesting and chatty as always. Didn't glean too much from what he had to say yesterday. I asked him how interested he was in the battle between Nadal and Djokovic for number one, expecting him to kind of say, oh yeah, I'm aware of it, but he's basically said, yeah, I'm really into it.
I wonder who.
And was doing all the maths and, was aware of all the permutations, etc.
He probably wants Nadal to finish number one.
Yes.
Although that would mean that equal. They're all equal. Although David thinks they're all going to end up on 20 slams, doesn't he? So imagine if they all ended up on 20 slams
and on five. I mean, that would be so perfect, wouldn't it? I know Federer's not getting beyond five.
No, agreed.
So, but then I suppose Sampras is already ahead of him, so he's never going to have that record. So I think he'd rather Nadal got
it. Yeah, I think probably. There's always been more of an edge between him and Djokovic, and that has actually really enhanced that rivalry. It's great that they have that little edge, that spice that Nadal and Federer have never really had. There's been a good rivalry for other reasons.
And, of course, the draw ensures that Federer and Djokovic will meet for the first time since that Wimbledon final. That match will be later in the week, and we'll talk about it when it comes around. I had to make a bit of small talk with Federer while our cameramen were lining up some sexy, moody B-roll shots. And don't know, I was really grasping Matt. I ended up explaining to him, mansplaining to him, that the boats they use on the Thames are the same. Oh, this is really, really this bad chat, isn't it? Oh. The boats they use on the Thames here, the Thames Clippers, are repurposed City Cat boats from Brisbane. You know the commuter boats in
I
Brisbane?
I didn't know that.
They're shipped
something
over
new
from
every tennis podcast.
Yeah, Federer was polite enough to say, to sort of raise one eyebrow and go, "Oh, interesting." Yep.
You didn't ask him to reel off his 0-2 records.
Thank you for leading me onto this, Matt. Yesterday, the most extraordinary thing happened in WhatsApp history. So I was prepping for these interviews. I was prepping for the Federer one, and I didn't have the notes to hand, so I WhatsApped our tennis podcast group, and I said, can anyone remind me of Roger Federer's 0-2 record? And I would say about a second and a half later, the full record appeared, 2009 to 2018. And I said, thanks, Matt. Not thinking much of it, assuming that you had the notes on your phone and had copied and pasted, and there it came. And you said, no problem, easy one that. Roger Federer's 0-2 record would probably be my mastermind specialist subject. To which I inquired, you didn't seriously just reel that off the top of your head? It turns out, folks, Matt had reeled that off the top of his head without even a beat.
It was just there.
How quickly can you go do it now?
Oh gosh, 2009 he lost in the semis to Davidenko. 2010 he won, beat Nadal in the final. 2011 he won, beat Tsonga in the final. 2012 he lost in the final to Djokovic. 2013 he lost in the semis to Nadal. 2014 was the final he didn't play because of the whole Wawrinka back gate. 2015 lost in the final to Djokovic. 2016 he didn't play. 2017 he lost in the semis to Goffin. And 2018, last year, he lost to Zverev in the semis. There it is.
We'll never beat that, folks. The tennis podcast has peaked, or Matt has certainly peaked. I hope you've peaked, because it's weirding me out and making me feel insufficient.
It's making me feel a bit weird.
Right. Let's all go and feel weird in the weird venue that is the O2 Arena. There's a Hollywood Bowl out there. Who's going to Hollywood Bowl, O2 Arena? It's all weird. Everything's weird. Okay. join us for more daily tennis podcasts. There's day two of the Fed Cup final tomorrow. If you want to watch the Fed Cup final at 3 o'clock in the morning, hopefully without some creepy woman sitting there waiting for you in the dark, you can do so. fedcup.com is the place to go for that. We've been the Tennis Podcast, executive produced by tennisballs.com. Our mascot is Rio with a Y. Have I forgotten anything, Matt?
Tomorrow is the two-day podcast.
Is it?
The day of two podcasts.
Great. Wow.
David's back.
Two podcasts. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.